So one question I'm often asked when I meet someone for the very first time and I'm in my pastor's uniform is, what should I call you? They, like most of us, get confused by what to call pastors, because every flavor of Christianity calls their clergy by different names. I usually respond to the question with, I prefer Pastor Mark, but I'll respond to basically anything, which is true. Depending on whom I'm with, I've been called Rev, Minister, Reverend, Pastor, Brother, Priest, Prophet, Teacher, Elder, and even Bishop. But don't tell my bishop that. Some traditions only have lay pastors, so they merely call me by my first name or Mr. Stutzel if they're being formal. But besides pastor, the number one title someone I don't know usually uses is father. And that was true even before I had kids. I'm honored that many people equate my Lutheran identity with their understanding of what a Catholic priest should be. And we should all celebrate when different flavors of Christianity make affirm and sound that the other leaders in this vast community that is the body of Christ are legitimate. But I've never really been comfortable being called father, because that term is usually restricted to one gender. Father narrows who we believe an ordained clergy person could be. Even though our Lutheran church has ordained women as pastors for almost 50 years. But I'll admit that I never really spent too much time thinking about this term growing up, because it was a term I was always surrounded with. Even though I was raised lapsed Catholic, my great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, uncles, aunts, and friends always used the term father. So it was a phrase that felt very normal to me. It wasn't until I attended an Episcopal seminary, which is a tradition that calls their pastors priests, that I actually had to ask myself what a woman priest might call herself. And it was there when I finally met a few women priests, who are called mother. Now, not every woman who's a priest in the Episcopal Church goes by mother. So we should never assume to call a woman with a collar mother without asking first. Because both titles, mother and father, are emotionally and spiritually loaded. They come with all sorts of baggage. Baggage given to us by our society that describes what mothers and fathers should be, and the baggage we carry personally based on our own experiences of our parents, grandparents, and guardians. I personally don't like being called father, and I sometimes stumble over the names of clergy who identify in such way. And so when I went to seminary, it took time for me to get used to calling certain clergy mother. But there was one mother there who embraced and lived into everything that term might mean. Her name was Mitties, like kitties, but with an M, the chaplain, and she was my preaching professor at seminary. We didn't call her professor or rev or minister or pastor. All of us simply called her Mother Mitties. Now, Mother Mitties, her preaching classes weren't complicated, but they were hard. We read and listened to a lot of different sermons. We spent time digging into different styles, formats, and methods to craft this thing called the sermon. Some days we would preach in front of all our classmates and receive their feedback right after it happened. And our sermons were also recorded on video, so we could do that really uncomfortable thing and actually watch ourselves, learning how others experience us in the pulpit. One of the more nerve-wracking assignments, which we did several times, was when we were given a piece of scripture to preach on, and we only had 5 minutes to prepare. Now, no one in these classes could be called, I think, natural preachers, because it takes time, effort, and practice to learn how to preach. Yet Mother Mitty's goal wasn't to train us to preach in only one kind of way. She knew that there wasn't one kind of format, one set of words that all people everywhere would respond to in a faithful way. Instead, she wanted each of us to find our voice, to find our personal style of communicating that was authentically and faithfully exactly who we are. She knew that the church needed more than just a bunch of clones that sounded just like her. God, believe it or not, really does want more than one kind of voice that's out there sharing God's story. Mother Mitty's wanted all of us to see how God already was molding us into the mouthpieces God wanted us to be. Our lives, our experiences, our questions, and our faith, formed by following Jesus wherever he goes, is how all of us, preachers, seminarians, churchgoers, adults, and even children, discover how we all are testifiers. And it's through our stories, our storytelling, our testimony, that others finally meet and see Jesus. Helping others meet and see Jesus is really what testimony is all about. And it's this kind of testimony that the church is all about too. This space right here, where we gather to pray, sing, and experience Jesus' story, is a testimony to who God is and how much God loves us. But this space, this worship, is also something else. It's also a training ground. It's here through our confession and forgiveness where we learn how to name the deep brokenness in our lives and in our world. We gain in this time together opportunities to admit our need to be prayed for and how the power of our prayers can refresh, heal, and bring peace to those around us. We discover through Scripture just how serious God is about living with us right now. Not because we're perfect, but because God's grace is. We sing and stand in body and in spirit, shaking hands and moving about because faith is a full contact sport, and every bit of your body matters to God. And when we gather together to kneel or stand at the rail, to share Jesus' holy meal, we're sometimes surrounded by people we don't know. And we see how our unity in Christ overcomes the barriers and differences we create between us. Being honest about who we are, being willing to name just how much we need God and seeing everything that Jesus has done for us. That's what we do every time we worship. And that's what testimony is. Testimony isn't about finding a set of magic words with the right amount of these and thous and other colorful language that makes us sound more faithful than we might actually be. Testimony is simply using the words we already have to tell our story and why Jesus makes a difference. Now, at first, if we've never spoken in this way before, we will sound and feel incredibly awkward. And that's okay, because giving testimony takes practice. And you're going to believe more often than not that the words you share about Jesus sounds almost ridiculous, and you can't imagine why anyone would listen to you. But they will, because the words you speak will be the words God has already given to you. And when you speak, when you share your faith, you aren't doing it alone, because you are right now in the sun. You are right now journeying with Jesus. You are right now following Jesus, even when it feels like Jesus is far away. And you are right now authentically and faithfully loved. And this is the testimony. This is your testimony. And this is a testimony that all of us, in the eternal words of Mother Middies, can preach and share with abandon. Amen.